Okay, guys. Well, welcome again. Obviously, a little bit later than we wanted to, but everybody made it out safe and sound from Hurricane Sandy. So obviously, our thoughts were with those folks on the East Coast that were affected by that. But they're all joining us today, including Alex, who's going to have some very thoughtful and wise things to say, as usual. We're going to talk about trade shows and working the trade shows and conventions, why they're important to do, the benefits from them, and we're going to talk to a few folks who have experience attending and showing at the trade shows and conventions and what's made them successful. Alex is going to talk to us today and kind of fill you guys in on why he does them and the success that he has. Dale Giddings is going to join in a little bit later on with some of his thoughts on how to make the trade shows get the most benefit from them. I believe Steve has a few ideas he'd like to share with you. And we'll take any, comments and ideas from others out there who have also done that or may have questions regarding them and how to do them. So without further ado, Alex, are you there? Once again, guys, I guess I should have given you the quick instruction again. To unmute your line, you want to hit *6. That'll allow you to join the conversation, leave your comments and thoughts, and talk to us all. And then to mute your line after your thoughts are completed, just hit *6 again. So once again, *6 will unmute your line. Alex, are you there? Well, darn. Let me try this. Okay, guys, well, you're all muted, so simply hitting *6 will unmute your lines. Is anyone there?
Yeah, I can hear you, David.
Okay, great. Well, now
David,
everybody's unmuted.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
Yeah.
I hit the mute
key. There you go. Thank you.
It muted all you folks, and for some reason, Alex, I guess you weren't able to join in.
I am here. I haven't been trying, but if you hear me now, then I'm good.
I hear you. And one of the things that Steve wanted us all to talk about were the benefits and how to properly prepare for, attend, and market the dental conventions. And I know that you've had success doing that, and we'd love to have you share some of the ideas and thoughts that you have on attending the dental conventions and why you've made them successful.
Well, thank you very much. I've been doing the different kind of dental meetings from probably a month into the business, because I had previously done it when I was involved in the dental laboratory business. So I had kind of an in knowing what to expect. Unfortunately, the industry has changed, and those big meetings that everyone has in their area probably are dying out. You know, there's a less interest. They're not visited in the frequency that they used to. And unfortunately, also, the traffic on the floor is not what it used to be. But saying that, it's still an opportunity where you can spend a day or 3 days. Some of those meetings take 3 days, where they come to you. So, it's a lot more than you can cover if you were there driving, from one office to another. But what I've done recently, and I had that sample at the meeting in Vegas, I had ordered a table cover, and David, you have the email, I sent you originally, but I have it here in case anybody wants to purchase. They can call directly that company, and since I did the design, which is our logo, with your help, people can just reorder another one, and it's very inexpensive. It covers the table, so you look professional like everyone else should be. But the bottom line is what I do in those meetings is I prepare ahead of time, make sure I have enough brochures, price lists. I have a display of used handpieces. I try to make the area itself appealing and also eye-catching. And as they walk by, you have to be proactive. You have to sometime, talk to them because they don't even know what the Dennis Choice is unless they read the logo. And some of them, you only have a second as they walk by. You have to intercept them in one way or another. Those are the big meetings. The smaller meetings is usually a continuous education where the doctors are there for the day. There may be 10, maybe 12 other companies, typically banks, maybe a couple of the other, the Pattersons seems to be everywhere. You know, those kind of people, they distribute the tables on the outskirt of the room or maybe in another room. And they have time, they have breaks and so forth, that they come out and look at what you have. Some of those smaller meetings give you the opportunity to take a minute to tell people what it is that you do, or they give you a commercial in their introduction. I found that those smaller meetings, typically in an area, there's probably 3-4 local associations that do that on a regular basis. And you just have to hook up, just ask your dentist one after another where they go for continuous education. They got to have something because they got to complete those seminars. And when you find that, you just contact the person that runs it. They'll give you the rates. Typically, they're about $500 a day for the one-day seminar. And the if you have like a regional, it may be, you know, $1,500. But those will be more than one day. It'll be a 3 days and so forth. And it's the same story. It's appealing display. I have pictures that I've been sending to corporate every time I do one. I believe that that's really the bloodline in addition to knocking on doors. And if there's any questions, you know, I'll take them. I don't know if I covered all the elements, but I believe that whatever you put on the table, you can't overcrowd that. You know, you just don't put too much, but make sure people know exactly what it is that you do. I have some posters on easel that, you know, whatever I decide to promote at that moment, if it's a maintenance seminar or if it's a small equipment repair, which currently is part of the promotion, they're sitting next to the table and they're eye-catching with the big logo and everything. Everything that I have has a logo on it. I believe that you have to build that recognition to what you have and, you know, to be recognized when they see it.
So you always have the logo and some sort of a promo going on at the individual show.
Right, and the table cover, I'm sure everybody has seen those. You know, they go over a table and gigantic logo in front of it. Mine happens to be black tablecloth. I recommend if anybody gets it in the future, they choose whatever color they want. But if I had to do it all over again, I probably will order a dark, dark blue that matches our logo. I was afraid that that may be, you know, too clashing with our logo, but I believe that black is maybe just a little bit too dark, but the logo is the only thing on that, and the one that I ordered is versatile enough that you can do it on an 8-foot table, 6-foot table, a high counter height, or a sit-down table. So it's a very versatile, does not get wrinkled, and probably one of the best investments other than buying the franchise. You know, it's paid for itself in two meetings.
Question I have for you is, you kind of skipped over it really quickly, but it was you prepare ahead of time for the meetings, and then you said, you know, you have to go out and get the doctor. So obviously you can't stand in the back of your booth area and just expect the customers to come up. So what is your technique for doing that? Do you stand out in the aisle? Do you just stand up at the
Exactly. I do stand. Most of the time you'll find me in the aisle. As they walk by, I may be standing next to my booth because usually the table doesn't take the entire width. So I stand there and see where the traffic is coming from. And when I see somebody, I'll just stand right there, block them, and either, you know, hand them a brochure, say, here's some information about our services. We repair, you know, handpieces and small equipment. You know, I hope you have a minute for me to explain to you exactly what it is that we do. If they said no thank you, then they go on their way. If they say, oh, you know, yeah, well, you know, I didn't know that you know, you even exist. And it, there's always something to start a conversation with. If nothing at all, they get the information. If they don't throw it away, the next time, you know, you visit the office, you know, you do have, again, the recognition. Some of them, you know, give you their name and says, oh, just, you know, stop in, and I will use that immediately within the following week. I'll stop at the office and say, I met Dr. Jones at the dental meeting. He asked me to come here. There's some things that he has for me. That's what I tell the gatekeeper. So that takes, you know, the pressure off that, you know, here's another information pack. He told me to come here. If it's stretching it, it is, but that's how I handle, you know, the leads that generated at the meeting. Some people have giveaways. I've tried that. A lot of them just don't want to be bothered to, you know, to stand and sign, and they a lot of them know that that will bring something down the road that may not, you know, they don't want to be hassled at that point.
So what do you do to get their contact information?
Well, I talk to them. You know, as wherever I can, I try to do it personal, you know, in a person-to-person, you know, say, hey, you know, here's information. You know, we offer, if right now we're talking about the maintenance, I said, hey, we offer this free maintenance seminar. All you need to do is, you know, let me contact you and we'll schedule a time, or you can call us and we'll schedule a time to come out. And everything that they take has a phone number or email or something to contact us. But I try to get as much as I can at that point, you know, asking for that, you know, specific information. But I know that they, you know, on the way to the bathroom, they're on the way to another seminar, they're another, you know, I mean, the lunch, something. So you really don't have a lot of time. But another thing that some of the bigger meetings have is promotion for the doctors to stop in and have a giveaway. I always participate in door prizes. Typically, my current door prize is $50 toward a repair. It's not a cash value. It's toward a repair. Probably got 10 accounts in the last, you know, handful of years from those. You know, somebody try you and like it, and, you know, for $50, that's, you know, a one-time kind of a thing. It's more than worth it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Hey, I just got a comment from somebody on a back line. Can anyone else join in the conversation? Or is it just me and Alex talking here?
Well, they have to unmute.
Can anyone unmute their line and get in?
Star six.
David,
yeah. Dale? Okay, so you can. Okay.
I didn't know if you wanted me to wait till Alex was done or if you were...
Well, not necessarily. I just wanted to make sure everybody could get in. So I'm gonna try hitting the control button again. So you'll have to hit star six to unmute your line. But let's try this one more time, guys. Sorry for the inconvenience. Okay, as of right now, I've got control here. It's all lines are muted. As you can hear, it's just me and there's no background noise.
I'm back online.
Okay, Alex, you're back online. Okay, perfect. Dale, can you hit star six and see if you can join the conversation as well?
I'm already on. Can you hear me?
Okay, perfect. Okay, everything seems to be working perfectly now.
David?
Yes.
Oh, this is Terry. I just was checking to see if you could hear me.
Okay, yep. Okay. So it looks like
say,
we're...
Say no, Dave. Say no.
Yeah. No, Terry, I can't hear you. Right?
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll mute myself now.
So what kind of door prizes do you offer, Alex?
I'm sorry, it beeped when you were saying it.
Oh, what kind of door prize do you offer?
Well, it's the $50 gift certificate, and they if it's the meeting, it's 3 days, the big meeting. They ask, usually the people that run it ask for one per day. So three separate gift cards, gift certificates, and that's in an envelope, a coupon that I made, and price list. Everything goes in that. So when they get that from the people that run the association because they want it, you have to win it, by the way. They have like a chest, you know, and if your key fits, you get it. And this way they take the information with them.
Okay. So do you get to gather any contact information from your door prize giveaway?
Some I do, of course. That because those people have to come to my booth for validation, or you know, to get some whatever. It depends on how the meeting is run. But usually they come to you and say, hey, I just won a prize, blah, blah, blah. And at that point, you know, they're dead meat. They're just standing there, and, you know, and everybody's happy. They got something. A lot of other companies don't make it as valuable. I think 50 is well worth it, and I never had a problem with that. You know, some people never cash it, by the way, and it is what it is.
Well, thank you very much. So what percentage, especially early on when you were also doing the Window Wizards business, did you gain from the conventions, Alex?
Well, when I first purchased the franchise, and Steve probably had the exact date, I know I do, but within 1 month after I was in business, I already went to a meeting. I knew there was one coming, and I think it was right at the beginning of April, and, you know, within a couple of days, I had work from that. So, you know, it's all a numbers game. I did things a little bit different in the beginning. I had pre-mailed, you know, postcards, see us at the meeting, blah, blah, blah. Things change since then, and I don't do a lot of direct mailing. But, you know, when it gets close to any of those monthly one-day seminars, anytime I wandered, you know, from one office to another, I always press on that, hey, is doctor going to be at the continuous education? If they say no, I still tell them I'm going to be there, because that's a really a – you know, something that you do, you're somebody. You know, you're not just Joe in the basement or Alex in the basement. You build a reputation of somebody that is in the neighborhood, is, you know, supporting the association, and is part of the community. So it's a lot of piling, but it works.
No, that's awesome. You get to use that as part of your marketing, too.
Correct.
Dale, did you have some information to add?
Yeah,
Dale,
Dale,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what your thoughts are on attending these meetings, how you prep for them, what kind of results you've got as well, as Alex's comments.
Hey, where's Alex at, by the way?
Alex is in Philadelphia.
Okay, awesome.
I do, if anybody wants it, Dave, I can always send you again the name of the company that makes the table covers, and that's, like I said, they already have us on file, and it's just a matter of reordering them.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got some trade show documentation that I'm going to e-blast all of you guys with, so I'll include that in with it, Alex.
Yep, you got it. Okay.
Thank you very much, Alex. Sorry, Dale.
I'll talk. It's two separate meetings. I mean, just like Alex was saying, if you go to the big events, the ADA, or, you know, in Texas, of the TDA, which I've never been to here, but when we did the ADA in Las Vegas, that was huge, you know, and kicking off some of our business there, and actually picked up a customer here in San Antonio that is still our customer to this day. Before we even bought this location, you know, there was nothing here. Anyway, I'm going to kind of reiterate some of the things Alex said, but here's what I think is really important when you go to these big events. If you're going to go, it's like Alex said, you got to have that presence of, you know, getting the board that the corporate office has that you can put at your table behind you, or, you know, sitting on the table, something that stands out, having the tablecloth and so forth. That's really important. And we did things like, and we still do this when we do these, is, you know, we'll have a big bowl of candy sitting there. We'll have a drawing for a handpiece. I know Alex hasn't been real successful at that. We actually were very successful. And, David, you were there at ADA Las Vegas. I think it's really key, you know, or one of the key things is it doesn't matter what you're giving away, what you're doing. These are just kind of nice little things you can do. But if you don't have one or two people up front standing in front of the table, like Alex said, kind of reeling people in through, you know, hey, you know, come inside, you know, fill out a form for a free handpiece, you know, a drawing. How about some candy here? You know, grab some candy while you're over here and just start talking to them about who or what we do. You've got to have somebody that's really proactive and somebody who's good with talking to people and very, you know, energetic, smiling, nice, friendly. If that is not you, don't do it, you know, is what I would say. Nobody wants to talk to the sourpuss, and nobody wants to talk to somebody that has a scowl on their face. So if that's not your personality, then don't get out there and don't try to do that. Bring somebody with you. Bring your wife. Bring one of your kids that, you know, maybe that's a good personality or a friend of yours. Hire somebody. Do something, because all you're going to do is waste a lot of time in trying to get people to talk to you. And if you're not personable, they're not going to talk to you. So I think that's key. But the candy, we had a big bowl of candy. One of the things we did were, man, I drew a lot of women in, and you don't necessarily need to talk to the doctor. You know, we always think it's, you know, talking to the doctor is great. Anytime we can build that relationship. But one of the things that we always did, David, also, is we made sure everybody knew, hey, we're a local family-owned business. We're not like everybody else. We're not like Shine. We're not like Patterson. We're not like those big companies where you're just a number. We're going to come in. We're going to give you that personal one-on-one business. And I don't care what anybody says. I truly believe in my heart, people want to know you. They want to see your face. And if you get to know these people and you're nice to them and you're able to get in the door and go see them after that convention or whatever, and you really start talking to them, they're going to continue to do business with you. If you almost build that relationship, and that's what we did. When we got done with these conventions, we would always follow up with a letter to the doctor, with a brochure also, card. And we actually, at one time, we put a picture of us in there because there was a lot of people from around the country at that big one we went to, so they didn't remember who we were, you know, I'm sure. But we put a picture, and it gave that personalized touch of, you know, now that's a lot of money, you know, to invest in that stuff. But it paid off tremendously because we were able to, in Las Vegas, you know, just kick butt and take names, you know, when we started off with the business there. On more of a local thing, like Alex was saying, though, if you go to these CE courses, which I think is a great idea as well, I've only been to a couple, and we sponsored one, and I can't remember how much it cost us. But one of the docs said, hey, would you be interested in sponsoring one of our CE courses? And there was about 15-plus, I think, dentists there. And what we did is they gave us, you know, 5 minutes or so in the, you know, at the beginning to stand up there and talk about who we are, what we do, give a presentation. And what we did is we had a little bag that we had placed on everybody's chair where they were going to be sitting. And in that bag, we had a you know, brochure, card, and also we had a couple bags of Jelly Bellies and a coupon, you know, for a free handpiece repair up to $99. But the way the coupon reads, it's a free handpiece repair with two or more handpieces sent in. And let's see, guys, if you're doing a handpiece repair, a free $99 handpiece, your real cost to you out of your pocket's $20 thereabouts. But I'm going to tell you, you got to spend money to make money, I believe. And, you know, if I can do a free handpiece repair and then I do a turbo on another one, or I pick up a customer that gives me 5, 6, 7, 8 handpieces, I mean, you're talking $1,000, $2,000, you know, possibly there. But you're getting a customer, you know, and that's what's important. So, Dave, you know, things that we've done like that, you know, I give away the store, but on the other hand, you know, I got to do something to stand out, and I like Alex says, name branding, absolutely everything that we do and everything that I do, I want to make sure it says Dentist's Choice and has the logo on there, because when they see that and they recognize that, that's so important. And if you're not name branding, if you're not making sure your logo, our logo and name is on absolutely everything you do, notepads, whatever, pens, anything, you're missing the boat, I think, on that. Notepads, by the way, David, that's another thing we put in the bags, of notepads, a 50, you know, a little notepad with 50 pages on it, you know, that we had printed up.
Sure.
It has phone number, name, and all that stuff. If they throw everything else away, people keep notepads, and that has saved my butt. I don't know how many times where people will call me up and say, hey, don't know what we did with your brochure, but I had your set in here, and I will give you a shot, you know, and come pick up some hand pieces. So Alex sounds like you've done a lot more of these things than I have, but I can tell you every time I've done one of these, I've picked up customers, and they become, you know, customers of ours, not just a one-time thing. You know, I've turned them into a, you know, a customer that continues to do business with us. So they're worth the money. but they can get expensive. So I would say if we're doing one of these big ones like the TDA, if you can't get other people in the area to pitch in, you know, that's a pretty big burden on you, I think, for a small business owner, especially if you're just started. But if we can get a couple people in the area like Texas to do the TDA, that makes it a lot, you know, less expensive, more cost-effective to do it.
Right. Well, based on that, like you'll look at a let's say a convention costing in the neighborhood of $3,000 for the large ones, Dale. And yeah, if you're able to split that with another, you know, Texas TDC owner, you're looking at $1,500. If you get one or two customers out of it, it's broken even, and anything more than that is just gravy.
Absolutely.
Right? Now,
absolutely.
When you attend, let's say, one of these smaller events, you said you sponsored a CE course, there's 15 docs in attendance, you had a giveaway bag with a brochure, a free repair, some Jelly Bellies. What, out of that 15, do you think you, I mean, is it pretty much automatic you're going to get one of those guys?
Oh, I think so.
In your opinion?
Absolutely, but I think people will give you a shot just if you put a coupon in there. You know,
okay.
I
may get several.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely if you just put a coupon in there, you'll get more than one. But I still believe this, David, you know, people want to do business with people they like and they trust. So, once again, if you're not a good speaker, if you're not a good people person, don't get up in front of a crowd, you know, and try to give a presentation if you're not good at it, you know, if you haven't practiced it. You know, or if they think you're just trying to, you know, sell them a bill of goods, you know, you've got to, and I think a lot of times also, if you just appeal to them and say, look, guys, you know, I live here in San Antonio, this is where my family is, I've got a couple kids, you know, got one in college, got one here, you know, whatever the case is, you know, it's a family-run business, we want to build a relationship with you and your office staff, and we want to help you maintain your handpieces. We can, you know, hopefully one day we can't eliminate handpiece repair, but we can prolong it. You know, and that's what our goal is, to help you prolong that, because we want you to be a lifelong customer. We want to build a relationship with you. And that's what it's about. It's not about selling them a product, giving them a free gift card or anything like that. You got to get in their heart and understand that, you know, if they, it's going to be a lot harder for them to go to Dental Fix, Hayes, Patterson, Shine and kick you to the curb, you know, if they know and like you, you know. They're going to say, no, Dale, you know, he's our guy. That's our handpiece guy. He does it. I'm not, you know, changing for anything. So you've got to, you know, you've got to do that. But you got to be genuine and honest about it, David. You know, it's not a front. You know, if that's not you, don't do it. You know, if
David,
you don't care about it.
Yeah.
David.
Yes.
Just to add to that, that's a really good point. As I mentioned, right now, one of the pushes that I have is for the handpiece maintenance seminars. It's I have a big poster that I show, but that has been very, 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 very eye-catching and successful. I have, of course, did many of my own accounts, and that I think solidify the relationship, because as was just said, hey, you know, we never had anybody come here, you know, and did that for us, and we're really appreciative that you have done it. But in some instances, you hand out the flyer, and it says, you know, free seminar, whatever, and the doctor already knows that he has issues, and the flyer already points that out to him, that we can help if you have problems. That is definitely a business grabber, because nobody else would ever do that. And once you get one of those, I believe that there are a higher percentage of keeping those guys, because they do feel that you really care. And I started by saying, you know, people ask me, why do I do this? Because it's going to basically eliminate the need for repairing. And I said, well, you know, you get oil changes on your car. It doesn't mean that you, you know, never need anything for your car. I mean, it's wear and tear will be enough. And some people don't follow the instructions. So you're not going to threaten my business. I just want you to have better results so the doctor doesn't pick on you, saying that to the assistant. And she knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I think everybody is appreciative that that service is offered, especially when you don't have the Pattersons, the Bankos, ever offered this. All they say, hey, you know, yeah, we can take this handpiece. We'll fix it for you. You'll get it back in 3 weeks, you know, something like that. So that's a big, big plus for us as a company.
Yeah, so that goes right along with what Dale was saying, which is he wants to build a relationship.
Absolutely.
With that office, and he wants them to prolong their handpiece life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and David, and that's a very good point, Alex. I mean, the handpiece maintenance class, that's another thing. I do talk about that when I do the seminars or, you know, or e-course or anything, and that's something I do offer. And if you wanted to put something, a little coupon together, something that's free handpiece, you know, maintenance seminar for your staff, put it in a bag with all your other, I mean, it's great. And you can just tell them, hey, there's that in there. Just call us and we'll schedule that. But that's another thing that I absolutely do with all of my clients, I mean, all my customers, is when I talk to them, I offer that. And it's not just offering it the first time I meet them. It's after I've been working on their handpieces for a while and I see that they really need it, I'll go back to them and say, look, we really need to do this class. It's something we need to do. Let's set it up. Guys, the more you can get in front of your customer and actually be face-to-face with them and they see that you're there to help them and partner up with them, the more they're going to do business with you also. And that gives you an opportunity to sell other things while you're there. Every time I do a maintenance class, I'd say 99.9% of the time, David, I sell, if it's somebody we haven't done a class before, you know, this is a first-time class, I'm selling them a can of lube and an oil pen. I mean, I'd say that's almost 100% of the time I do that because I'm using our stuff. This is what you should be using. Let me compare this to the Cavo spray that's extremely oily that nobody likes, you know. So that means just another opportunity to pick up a sale while you're there. So
that's like an automatic, and then you get them on that, and then you sell them more lube over time.
Right, exactly. They always call me. I just had a customer today. When they sent in their hand pieces, they wrote on the order form, need another can of lube, you know. Great. Oh.
Well, I really appreciate Alex and Dale, everything you've had to say about the conventions. It's just the fact is, if you attend these conventions and you prepare for them properly and you're engaging with the docs and you do the follow-up, you're guaranteed to gain business out of these things. It's just an automatic.
Hey, Dave,
absolutely.
This is Steve. Can I add my two cents?
Absolutely, Steve.
Hey, Dale and Alex, thanks. You guys are real pros, and what's amazing to me is that both of you are champions and top-tier producers, always have been, always will be, really get it. And there's some real common denominators, which, you know, it's just amazing to me that other people don't follow the best practices of the top-tier people. Shows work, handpiece maintenance clinics work, coupons work. I mean, three common denominators. They work fabulously well. We've been preaching them since Adam and Eve. But for some reason, some folks have a remarkable disinclination to follow the best practices, because I know for certain that less than a third of our franchise owners routinely get involved in the trade shows, the annual ADA, CDA, whatever. It's just amazing to me. And most of the time, the reason for that is that they say, well, I tried it one year, but I didn't do any good at it. Do you hear that a lot, Dave?
I do. I hear from a lot of folks that just gave it the one effort, and that was enough to sour them.
And that's fairly typical because they didn't reach out and really figure out. They didn't talk to Dale and Alex and the others that are so successful at the shows. They didn't learn the best practices. So I don't know if you guys covered it. I want to make sure that everybody realizes what the goal of doing a show is and what the results are supposed to be, and what so. Plus, if I ask somebody, hey, how come you don't do shows? Well, I did it one year, but I didn't get much. And say, well, what do you mean by much? Well, you know, I just got a couple customers. Oh, okay, great. But what truth is, they didn't know how to work the show. They didn't understand that the goal was to gather information. First of all, make a great first impression, or at least don't make a lousy one. Make a good first impression. It's not there to answer everybody's questions. It's to gather information, contact information. And then what I'll hear is that, well, I did that, but I still didn't do any good. And I'll say, well, really, tell me more. So, yeah, how many leads did you get? Well, I don't know. I got quite a few. They didn't track and measure anything. They had no idea how many leads they got. And I'll say, well, okay, of the leads that you got, how many converted to customers? Oh, I don't know, just not very many, not as much as I'd hoped. Oh, really? I said, and tell me about your follow-up procedure, the timeliness of it, how many times you went back to the, oh, well, you know, I just got so busy, I had to take a couple days out for the show, and then, of course, I got all backlogged with my normal customers, so I really didn't have a chance to go to follow up with any of them. Well, I mean, what kind of, I mean, I don't get that. So they invested money, they spent the 2 days there, they might have made a good first impression, but they didn't do any follow-up. And both Dale and Alex know it's all good sales is all follow-up. So those, you know, I think you need to go into a show with that sort of attitude and look at this thing and say, well, it could cost me several thousand dollars. When we do the CDA show, my God, it costs us, what, close to $10,000, doesn't it, Dave? And we always make money on that show. And so I really think that, you know, folks, I almost feel like it should be something mandatory. After all, Alex said at the outset, it's the only time during the year where they come to you. So those are some things to keep in mind. But I missed the first part of it, Alex. Did you talk about the
Alex,
hey, Steve?
Alex, did you hear that?
Steve, you're breaking up. I don't know. Is it Steve?
Yeah.
All right. He was asking me a question. I did not get what he was saying. Is he still there?
Steve, are you still there? We hear a lot of static and some breakup.
Well,
darn it. He kind of broke up, but I think what he was saying is, you know, looking at the investment, and I may be off base here, but it seemed like he was trying to go with, if, based on the investment, what is the payoff for the investment, you know, that you have to put into these shows?
Well, I truly believe, and if I didn't think there was a great investment, I wouldn't continue after 12, 13 years to continue to do this if it was a failed, you know, enterprise, you know, the shows. But one of the things that Steve did not mention, the full benefit of it, of course, is if you get an account a day later, a week later, or whatever. But the goodwill that you just put your name out there, and it later on comes back to pay, you know, the payback will come maybe a month later when you revisit an office that heard or saw you, or, oh, now I know who you are, blah, blah, blah. I get that all the time. People that you know talk to other people because they, you know, seen you at the show. Maybe one of your accounts walking by and his buddy, you know, from his classmate, you know, and they start to talk about you. You know, those are awesome, awesome results. Polly had a bunch of those, you know, that just came from self-referrals. I mean, they're right there. They're talking to each other. And so, you know, the building of the reputation, the name recognition down the road a week, a month from the show is invaluable.
And that's part of the follow-up process.
Yeah, but sometimes the follow-up is you know, in the mind of the people, you know, because they recognize the name when you drop off the information the next time before they file it in the trash. This is the guy I saw at the show. And at the dental meeting, by the way, the big ones, I believe that some of the people, if they ever go to my website, they can see there's a picture of me standing in front of one of those that you guys took in Vegas. I used to bring that gigantic poster, the banner.
Yep.
I had that made 10 years ago, and I still use it now. And that goes in back of me just because I didn't want to take advantage of getting that display from you guys back and forth. I made my own. And those are very inexpensive to make from those banner companies, you know. Probably less than $100, you can have a great one made.
Absolutely. Now, do you still – one of the things that we've always used, and I think it was you who introduced us to it, was the fortune cookies and how that draws the gals in and how you're able to talk to all the dental assistants and the dental hygienists.
Yes, the fortune cookies was done years ago. I brought that from, of course, previous experience. And the fortune cookies used to say inside, I the guy made it that way. You know, your future is with the dentist's choice, or you'll save a fortune with the dentist's choice. I just got away from it that they changed ownership and it became a little too difficult to order the fortune cookies, and I actually saw how they make them, so I kind of shied away. And what I have switched to is the miniature Hershey's, the little candy that years ago one of their franchisees, his wife used to make them. I got a local girl here that makes them. If anybody ever wants to hook up with her, I can give you that name. And she makes the little Hershey miniatures with our logo on top of it, with the phone number and everything. And that's always goes in a box when I send something back to the doctor. And that's what I give at the dental meeting. So there's a piece of chocolate, but it has the Dentist Choice wrapper, you know, the logo on a miniature, you know, Hershey. So, and with a phone number. And it says thanks. So that goes in a box, and I hand those out at the dental meeting. There's a container of that.
So what you have is you have an item, an eye-catching item that draws them in. Now, what we use the fortune cookies for is because it has that same effect. It's eye-catching. It draws them in. Everybody wants a fortune cookie, and you kind of have fun watching them open it, and they read the fortune, and they look at you, and they laugh because, of course, then they realize, you know, gotcha. Of course, it's a marketing ploy.
Right.
But they get that. They still get the fortune cookie and the fun that everybody has opening
right.
fortune.
Did that for years, right. And like I said, then
yeah.
I moved on to the chocolate just because, you know, it was a little easier to get. But everybody has a, you know, a Chinese supplier in their city. Just look at next time you go to a local Chinese takeout and see what box they have there that they get the cookies out of, and you can contact them and they'll be more than happy to, you know, you have to order a few, but they last pretty long time, you know. And you can request custom made. They're not very expensive, by the way.
Yeah, and we have. We've used those because of your advice at every show, and we've just been so successful bringing the girls over. Now, we use it as an information gathering event where they grab the fortune cookie, and then right then you engage them and ask them what they do and what office they work for and what kind of handpieces they have and who fixes them. And I mean, you have that. You can fit all of that in somehow in about 12 to 15 seconds. You get that information from them, and then you just simply, you know, you leave them with a good impression, but then you gather their contact information, phone number and the office they work for and their name. So that's the ploy that we used. And then, of course, the important thing for us was then to, you know, gather all our information on Monday morning and start with the follow-up calls. Because like Steve said, that's so important, especially when you're not talking to, you know, especially when they don't hand you a handpiece right there, right? It's important to follow up with those folks that you had a good connection with, because those are going to be your, you know, potential customers. Now, one thing that we haven't talked about at all, we've been listening to you, Alex, and you, Dale, and we thank you very much for that. But, you know, we have had success doing it ourselves. We build our whole Southern Orange County customer base off of three dental conventions, which, you know, we built roughly $30,000, you know, in revenue per year in the Southern Orange County area that we ended up selling to a franchise owner that wanted to work the area, but we did that in three dental conventions. So, you know, they're successful. Steve said $10,000 a convention. I'm not sure where he got that number. I know I did the math, and it was closer to half that. But when you look at the results that we got, not to mention that we brought in, that was just our own results, not to mention the results from the other California owners that came and attended it, which were the Eckelbergers out of the Riverside area. We had the Vus up in L.A. We had Don Billings up in Sacramento or Stockton, the Bay Area. He had told me the other day that every time that he had attended, now he would just drive down all the way from San Francisco, and anyone who knows California knows it's pretty big, so a Southern California show may not, you know, be ideal for a Northern California franchise owner. And he said that he gained a couple of customers at every one of the shows that we did. So, you know, potentially there was another 8 or 10 or 12 customers that folks got just from these conventions. And we gathered them in, and we gathered their information. We did the follow-up. We weren't overly aggressive in the aisles, but we were engaging, and they were just so successful that we just really wanted to you know, to promote that to you guys. And to those folks who haven't done them, especially if you can get together with another franchise owner in your area, you'll just benefit greatly from attending these. I guess we didn't leave time for any questions, but or at least previously. Does anybody have any questions for Alex and Dale? If you do, we'd love to hear from you.
Hi, David.
Yeah.
I have a question. I was just wondering, how much does it cost for the dental shows down there?
Well, it costs the booth rental, the space rental is for unlike the California Dental Association show, it's about $3,000.
It's a lot less in most areas.
Is it?
Yeah, it could be as little as $500, $750.
That's what I was saying. It's $500 for in this area for one day. It's about $1,500 to $1,800 for 3 days in this area. It depends really on the association and what they feel they're worth. But you know, I do, you know, maybe sometime two a month. But for the smaller meetings, it's well worth it. For the big ones, it's only once a year. So again, it's you know, there's a certain amount set aside, and I believe that it's well worth it.
You do the show all by yourself?
Yes, I do. And your next question is, don't I have to go to the bathroom? I do, but I sometimes don't. I mean, you don't have traffic all the time. Like the one-day seminar, they are locked into a room, you know, for maybe 2 hours. Then they have a break for 15 minutes. So while they are sitting at the lecture, you know, you have time. You know, you can do whatever you want. If it's the 3 days, again, there is not traffic all the time. It's not like you're sitting there, you know, nonstop. So you do have time to – I feel that economically you, one person can handle it. If you have something that I remember the California meeting was such a big crowd, yes, obviously you needed more than one person. But most of my experience – that one person is enough. If I had somebody with me, it would be better, but it was not necessary. So don't let that hold you.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Gord. Is there any other questions for Alex and Dale? They're two good guys to talk to, that's for sure.
Hi, this is Harv. I got a question for one of the guys.
Shoot.
Yes, what's the best way to get the contact information for some of these shows and conventions, like to find out when they are and where they are and so on?
Talk to any of your existing dentists and ask them who they belong to. You will eventually, whatever state you're in, if the state is very large, it'll be divided into regions, as Pennsylvania has. And that's good for you because that will be probably in your territory. Then you have the smaller, what some people call study group. You know, it's a sub part of the state association. I have here probably a three or four regions. You know, that have their own. You know, right in Philadelphia, you got the East, the West, and they all, you know, for the ego, have their own seminars. They charge. They make money on those things. It's accredited to the dentist, and they get good money for it, and then they get money from whoever comes to buy a table for the day. So they will let you know, and then you contact the person that runs it, and usually your account – your dentist will know who is in charge because they get mailings from those people all the time. And that's how you learn. And, you know, there'll be – it may be, you know, hard in the beginning, you know, till you click on it. But after a while, one will tell you where the other meeting is taking place. They usually don't hold anything in the summertime. But then once the – right now, September, October – there is probably in my area about two or three of those per month. So you pick and choose. Some of them will cost more just because the speaker is more well-known. So you can pick and choose. But after a while, they recognize you, and they'll be appreciative. And sometime if you get one of the head guy to be one of your clients, boy, I tell you, there's a free advertisement if you ever seen one.
And one other question. Would you be interested in sharing some information on your banner, like taking a picture of it and emailing it to me?
It's there. It's go on my website, thedentistchoicepa.com. There's a picture of me standing in front of it. I think corporate probably has a picture of that one. It was in the Vegas meeting that they took that picture. And a lot of the franchisees that were in that meeting a few years back took picture in front of it. It's big. It's probably 6 feet wide by 6 feet high. So that really fills the space in the back. And you can get that done by any of the banner franchises that are out there. There's so many of them. You just take the logo from corporate, and they'll put it right on it. It's very inexpensive today.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate the info.
Yep.
On that, on Harv's question related to lists and so forth, it dawned on me too, Dave, that you know how we tested shows in so many ways. One of the things we did one year in the California Dental Show was we got a list of all the South Orange County doctors that had enrolled, that had signed up for the convention. For the trade show. We had to buy it. It was a couple hundred bucks, and we sent out a preheat letter. Remember that, Dave?
Yep, I absolutely
we
do.
We sent it out
that,
to maybe, I think it was about 800 doctors. There's a lot of them.
Yep.
And it said, hey, we're in booth 26 or whatever it was. We're really looking forward to meeting you, and close as a coupon. Bring a handpiece by and redeem this coupon. We'll repair it for nothing. And it was like a three-paragraph short deal. And we track and measure everything, but we got a ton of handpieces even before the event. I don't remember how many, but maybe 20 or 30, right, Dave?
We did. We absolutely got handpieces before the event, and we got handpieces at the event.
People came into the show, and it was amazing. They'd have their coats on and their shirts and stuff like that, and they'd start pulling these hand pieces out like crazy. And just as Dale said, oftentimes it wasn't just one. I'll never forget. This had to be 10 years ago because I knew that coupons worked, and it's built a lot of businesses for so many guys and gals. I started talking about the coupons, and they just didn't get it. As Dale said, it's a lousy $20 for an opportunity to have a lifelong relationship with a customer that's going to generate, you know, $500 or more in profit to you each and every year. So I'll never forget, I was talking to a new franchise owner who had a poor belief about coupons and giving anything away and said, I'm not going to do coupons. I think you're an idiot. And I said, why? He said, well, Jesus, what if I give 100 of these coupons out and every one of them redeems them and I have to repair 100 hand pieces for free? I'd go broke. I said, you got to be kidding me. How are you going to go broke? You know, and what we realized, too, is just as Dale said, is this one guy came in with, like, 9 hand pieces. Most of them were slow speeds. I think we got
Steve?
Yeah.
I remember when you guys did the first one in Los Angeles, in that Southern California meeting, and I was there with you guys the first time, and we end up sitting at the office. There was about 4 of us. Turning handpieces for the following day, you know, to send them out. And that was a great success, and that meeting was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we got close to like 300 handpieces, and, of course, we were opening our big mouths and telling them, you know, speedy turnaround time and all that good stuff, so the guys had to work their asses off all weekend. I remember that, Alex.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and I think the preheat helped that one, too.
And by the way, we did the tracking and the measuring. The amount of hand pieces that we received that we were able to bill out, because like Steve said, many of these folks gave us 2 and 3 and more hand pieces, paid for the parts we put into the hand pieces, paid for the entire booth, rental and everything, and the fortune cookies, et cetera, and the printing, and we gained all those new customers.
Well,
I mean,
plus we had Don and Alex in. We had a couple franchise owners, and we all went to dinner one night, paid for the dinner, paid for all the expenses.
It was amazing. And then we've done it two times since, and it with similar results.
I still have the gift that came in that Happy Meal, Steve.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, I still have the gift. Boy, I still have it here. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, no hold bar around here, buddy.
I'll tell you.
Hey, great. That was great, Alex and Dale. That was really, really good stuff. I really appreciate you helping us out. You've done that just all the time. You guys just keep giving and giving and giving to corporate and other fellow franchise owners, and we're all eternally grateful for all your contributions over the years.
Thank you.
All right, Steve. Well, another great meeting with a lot of good information shared by some guys that have been in the business for many years, and we really hope that especially you new guys, Harv, thank you for your questions, and Gord, take what they said to heart and try and implement it in your area. You're going to be, if you're half as successful as they are with it, you're going to be glad that you did it. As a follow-up to this meeting that we just had, guys, I am e-blasting you all right now some information that we have taken. It's in your resource guide, but I'm going to go ahead and send it to you all individually anyway. And it's one of the articles I'm going to send you is 12 Ways to Work a Trade Show or Convention. And then there's another article that Steve put together on trade show marketing. So I'm going to send you guys that. They're real easy reads, but a lot of good information in them. And I'm also going to email you some stuff that Alex has sent me over in the past in relation to his dental conventions. So thanks again, guys, a bunch. A lot of great information shared, and look for that email here momentarily, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Alex. Bye-bye.